What is up, Boiler Nation? It is Thursday night. It's September 3rd, 2026, and we are officially a little less than 24 hours away from Purdue football kicking off their 2026 season when they host the Indiana State Sycamores tomorrow night, 7 p.m., under the lights of Rossig Stadium on the Big Ten Network. I'm Tanner Lee. We got the full crew tonight. Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch in the house. We're going to be talking the good, the bad, the ugly, predictions, bowl predictions, confident points going through the schedule, all types of things revolving Purdue football for 2026. Fellas, how's it going?
Here we go.
Here we go.
I don't know.
Hey, it's not bad now. It can only be good. Sure.
12-0 till we're not.
Yeah. Yep. Go 12-0 if you don't start 1-0.
That's very true. That's very true. I got a comment here on YouTube from ranked PSI guy 1. 2-10 floor, 3-9 likely, 4-8 attainable, 5-7 ceiling. Hope I am wrong, but don't think I am.
Most
predictions are 3-9, 4-8. That's what a lot of, I think Vegas, the over under is 3.5. So, right there. Can't get much worse than the last 2 years with 3 combined wins. You can't get much worse.
Oh, it can. Wait, if they drop an egg tomorrow night. That would be the worst.
It would easily be the worst loss of Purdue football history. I mean, you're 36.5 point favorite, 35.5 point favorites, depending on what line you see, against an FCS opponent that you're 7-0 all time against. You're 17-0 all time against the FCS. And this is not a good FCS team. This is a team that already dropped the game to Southeast Missouri State last week. So,
And they can't even run the ball either. I mean, they're one-dimensional on offense.
Big-time Boiler in the chat on YouTube. Barry in his second year is usually pretty good. 6-6, Purdue optimistic. Purdue starts 3-0, then goes 3-6 in the last 9. Sign me up. I've heard enough. 100%. Sign me up.
Yeah. I saw your post on Twitter, and I would gladly take that.
He says, at least Rutgers looks like number 18 already in the Big Ten. Struggling with the middlemen of UMass.
Yeah, the team that didn't win a game last year.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that would not be good for Greg Schiano there, even though I don't think he'd ever get fired from there.
But yeah,
that would not be good. So,
You know, I think we better start out tonight with some positive, happy memories then. So, if you guys don't mind, before we even get into this season, before we look at the preview, let's start with what made us feel good. I'm going to kick us off the blind rankings. So tonight's blind rankings is going to be, I'm going to have you guys rate your favorite individual performance of a Boilermaker on a season opener in the last 20 years. So I got 5 to choose from. There technically is 6 in here because I actually had to go back and remember one of them. I was like, oh yeah, there was 2 performances in one game. So number one, we'll start out here. 2014, Frankie Williams produces 3 big plays to help Purdue beat Western Michigan in 2014. If you remember, he had that big interception and 2 punt returns.
I remember I wasn't able to attend this game and didn't get to watch much of it on TV. So this is number 5 for me because I don't remember much at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. It would have been my, I guess, technically senior year because I didn't do half a victory lap. I don't know. I don't remember this game either. Obviously, coming off the 1-11 year with Hazel's first year.
PJ Fleck was still there, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Yep, because this is the year
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the year before he went off to Minnesota. So, number 5 for you.
This game with Brom.
All right. Yeah,
2015 was the year they made their big bowl game run. That's right.
Was it, though, 2015 in regards to 2015 of that current year? Because it was 2014, 2015. Because I believe he was in Michigan. It would have been 2015. Would have been the bowl.
I thought he came in to Minnesota when Brom did. I thought 2017 was his first season.
Because our thing was like, who's going to be there longer, Brom or Fleck? And it was like, oh, Brom's going to be there way longer than Fleck ever will be.
6 years to now going on 10 years. So.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Nope, you're right. I remembered history wrong. So have five for both of you, correct?
Correct.
All right. All right, next one. We're going back to 2006.
Indiana State. Purdue,
yep, Indiana State beat them 60-35. This game, I remember Corey Sheets rushing for 128 and three TDs. But Dorian Bryan also had 154 yards and two TDs, and I totally forgot about it in that game.
I remember going to the game. I remember Purdue wore the 1966 throwback unis, mm-hmm. white jerseys at home. Mm-hmm. I remember Corey having a good game. I don't remember Dorian Bryant's performance, but I'll put it at three.
Okay.
I'll put it at two. I remember that. I remember going to a game. I mean, obviously, yeah, the uniforms were a big
draw. Excuse me, a big draw at the time.
Did he return a kick that game?
Dorian Bryant? I don't think so.
Okay.
It's not on the stat sheet.
Okay.
Continue what you were saying, Evan.
Well, I was just saying, I remember the uniforms. I remember it was just kind of what we were used to at that time period of, you know, going against an inferior opponent, just kind of kicking their butt before getting into Big Ten play, which we missed those days.
And that's back when we didn't play in the State very often. Now we play them almost every freaking year. Yep.
Where'd you put that, Evan? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Two.
Okay. All right, next one you both should remember. Boilermakers top. It was September 3rd, so actually 15 years ago today, Boilermakers top Middle Tennessee on a last second Caleb Turbush game winning throw. Turbush had 220 passing yards in that game. It was pretty efficient, actually.
I think that was to take the lead, and then Middle Tennessee came down to kick a field goal, and we blocked it.
Yep.
If my memory serves me correctly. I remember it was 95 degrees out when we wore jeans.
Yes, sir.
But, I think about that game a lot more than I should, just because it's like, how did that game come down to that? That should have been a sign of things to come. I'll put it at number four.
I'm right there with you. I remember being excited because it was my first game as a student, being freshman year, and just excited to finally be in the student section. But, yeah, it was not an enjoyable game from a standpoint of just, yeah, it was close and it was a song out there.
Well, it was just like, who the heck's going to play quarterback type thing, because they were hoping Robert Marv's knee would be ready. It wasn't. Rob Henry had torn his ACL. So all of a sudden, Caleb Turbush, who was supposed to be third string, comes in. But also, Sean Robinson, who got some PT the year before as a freshman, came in for one or two series, and then they decided to redshirt him, and then they switched him to linebacker altogether. So that's Purdue football in a nutshell right there.
But Turbush did have a good game.
Yeah, he did. He was fine.
Sometimes I would take him versus what we've seen the last few years.
No doubt.
Yeah.
All right, so I think you both have one and two remaining, right? No, you have one and three, and then one and two.
I got one and two.
All right, next one. We talked about this last week. September 5th, 2009, Purdue goes into Toledo, and Ralph Bolden runs for 234 yards.
That one was actually at home. 07 was that.
Sorry.
Yeah. But I do remember this one very well. Ralph, that game, and then week two at Oregon and the loss that Purdue should have won out in Eugene. Through 2 weeks, he was like an All-American. I still wonder what could have been for his career if he didn't have all the knee injuries. I want to put this at one, but I'm putting it at two because I think – My gut tells me I know what you got left, but I could be way wrong, so I'm going number two.
I'll go three. I don't remember this one. I thought when you said it, I thought it was the 07 game.
Yeah.
Because that would have been my number one. Because that was an awesome game.
But yeah, I'll go with 3K. I don't remember that one as vividly.
Yeah, Hope's first game.
Yep.
Said coach.
And if Prevagen's listening, anyone for sales rep, we're looking for a sponsor from memory. We'll sponsor. All right.
I got a stupid memory. It's like I got a little thing up here in my brain for Purdue football and misery. That's me.
Mine mixes up teams, dates, and things like that. All right, last one. I think you're both right because I think we're all just in awe at this one. 2017. Need to say anything less. Rondale Moore. Breaking Otis Armstrong's record. First game as a true freshman.
That was 2018, wasn't it?
It was 2018.
2018, sorry. Yep.
Yeah. Thursday night. It was like this. It was like tonight, season opener against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Elijah Sindelar had a bad first half, throwing three picks. David Blau ended up taking over for him. But Rondale Moore, we had heard the hype. This kid was a big top three star to low four star recruit, but he committed to Texas and New Albany, Indiana kid. But I never would have guessed he was going to say hello, college football world, like he did that night. And it was only a sign of things to come for that year. And still wish that guy was here with us. But I don't think we'll ever see a season opening performance like that again.
No, yeah, I was not there, but I was in St. Louis for work. And I remember just kind of watching it in my hotel and obviously being really bummed that we lost because it was obviously a conference game and to drop one off the rip. But just watching it being like, I've never seen this before, at least for Purdue. Obviously, we've seen it, you know, from guys at Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, those types of guys. But it was just like, this dude plays for our team. And I think this is right when Dan and I started this podcast kind of as a offshoot of his other podcast. And I think it was after the Northwestern game, right? I said, like, if Rondale Moore doesn't win Big Ten Freshman of the Year, I'll run a marathon or something stupid. Yeah, thank God I didn't have to.
Thank God he didn't blow his knee out week two or three or something.
Right, yeah. But it was just incredible. It was just unbelievable. And I was jealous of that I couldn't be there because it was obviously coming off the Hazel years and we had the first year of Brom that was really fun. But just to be like, holy crap, like second year, like we already got this type of guy. Like, this is like something we've never seen before. You know, Dorian Bryant was probably closest from a receiver standpoint, but you know, Dorian was small. I mean, Rondale was small, but he was, you know, he was small and just in height. The fact that you could squat 600 pounds as an 18-year-old, like, yeah, just unreal. And yeah, we miss him a lot. And
I was going to say, he was like comparable to Dorian Bryant, but he could cut like Reggie Bush.
Yeah. And he had strength. Dorian didn't have the strength that Rondale did.
Yeah. And we've seen, obviously, under Brom, we had some awesome receivers. David Bell, who you could probably argue had a better career. He played longer at Purdue, but still haven't seen, you know, a player at Purdue that when they got the ball, the whole stadium just kind of like held their breath, just being like, all right, what's he going to do? Because if it was an open space, anything was possible.
Yeah. I remember that Northwestern game. He dropped an open ball early in the game. And he kind of picked the ball up and smacked himself or hit clapped or something. And then from then on, it was lights out. It was like, that's what he needed to get going type thing.
Yeah.
Good list. Also just the last point on Rondale, to be one of three true freshman All-Americans with Herschel Walker and AP.
Company.
Insane.
What could have been if it wasn't for the injuries? What could have been if it wasn't for COVID? What could have been?
Yeah, I remember putting like on my Facebook after the year, like, what a year, and we get at least two more years of this to watch Rondale, and then we didn't. So we were
like robbed. Got like five games after that.
Just like robbed. I mean, we should have seen him and David Bell together a lot, and we didn't. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The kudos to Brahm and staff for, recruiting guys like that. It's, pre NIL, world of NIL,
right?
Rondale would have been tough to keep.
Yeah, I mean, like, going back to his, you know, commitment, he did at the All American game, and you know, he picks up the Ohio, which obviously he was a Texas commit. He committed already. I think he had decommitted, I assume, because he had all the hats. Yeah. But the fact that he picks up the Ohio State hat and throws it, and then now just it's fun back of doing what he did against Ohio State, you know, later in the year, is crazy. And it was just like, holy cow, what is happening?
Yeah.
and maybe we'll get back to memories like that, but I wanted to start out the year positive note, going back and looking at those individual performances, because I, in my opinion, I think we're probably going to see something. We're going to see a good performance tomorrow night. And so, do we want to talk a little about the offseason? Kind of, you, Taryn, you want to give a spin about how many, what players Barry's brought in? I know you've been really focused on the videos been released by Purdue football.
Yeah, but they haven't really focused on too many new guys.
No, well, true.
If I went through the weeds, I'd forget too many. I mean, I know Purdue brought in, I believe it was 35 or 36 guys, which was fifth in the Big Ten. Drastically different than last year when they brought in like 100.
Yeah. It's like 80 new guys or something. It's like 80. Amount. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. The portal window closing now helps. I mean, Purdue has the same team they had in the spring, which is big for continuity and you know, a bond of the team and everything. But really, the big thing to me in the offseason, my two things were Barry kind of put all his chips in on Ryan Brown being his guy, not going out into the portal that we know of and trying to get anybody or getting a serviceable backup, and bring back Kevin Kane, who was the defense coordinator under Ryan Walters, which I will give Kevin Kane the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't his defense. I don't know how much say he even had, but still, it was an eyebrow-raising move nonetheless that I don't think a lot of us saw coming. And it's a weird era of college football to where there's three or four coaches out there in the same position who are back either as a coordinator where at a coach where they were head coach or a coordinator of where they were previously coordinator. So it's kind of a weird era and world we're living in. But those two are going to be huge points to follow the whole season.
Yeah, I think safe to say that it's, you know, that's kind of, I think it's what's going to be the determining factor of Barry long-term job here or not. Like, the fact that you, like you said, you bring back Kevin Kane, who, you know, when I saw it originally, Twitter, one of our friends put in our group chat, I thought it was a joke. or he said something, I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, I thought he laughed it off. And I was like, wait, this is serious? Like, we're bringing back Kevin Kane? Are you kidding me?
I would like to know who else was in consideration.
Yeah. But, which, I mean, like, get, like, you know, I mean, I mean, it had to have been a tough sell for like, even for like your probably even like middle road guys, unless it's like a, you know, a position coach, but if it's a current sitting coordinator at a Power Four school, it's gotta be a really tough sell because you just don't know, like, you know, came off two wins, you know, you see where the program's at. And then obviously, yeah, Ryan Brown, like, obviously this is like a great kid, has shown some good things, but you know, He's played a full season worth of games between time at Purdue. Results are not great. You know, arguably his best game, like that wasn't against like a Ball State or somebody, was Illinois the year that Hudson was hurt. Yep. And how much of that was the fact that they had tape on him, and how much of it was the fact that our entire coaching staff knew the playbook of Illinois? I don't know.
They literally wrote the defensive playbook.
But yeah, the fact that they're going all in, like, I mean, I hope it works out. Like, I like what I've heard about him, like his offseason, just the fact that he's, you know, what I liked about Brown, he would, you know, try and take the big play sometimes last year, which we didn't always see in the past, but that also hurt him a lot, where he would try and make a big play and where there wasn't one to be made. So you hear things like, oh, he's getting a lot better at just like making the simple read, like nothing wrong with the check down. The national champions last year, I mean, the Heisman Trophy winner was great at that, of just like finding the guy, like just marching down the field, not trying to do too much, and then take it when he gave it to you. So I hope it works out, but it's like, man, that is, at least like from an optic standpoint, it doesn't look good if Barry's hitching his wagon to those two decisions, because it just hasn't looked good so far. But I hope I'm very wrong, and I hope things change.
Well, there is no safety net behind those two decisions. There is no.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
there is.
And that's where, like, that. Yeah,
that's where I think in Kachai, where I think it's like it's been a little, it was a little perplexing of like, it didn't even seem like we were trying to go get a quarterback in the portal. Like, obviously, we like, you know, Evan Chuba was on the roster last year. You know, we had Malachi Singleton as the backup, and Chuba was third string or fourth string behind Meredith.
Yeah, Meredith is still on the roster somehow.
Yeah, so it's like you didn't go out and like get somebody to at least like at least challenge for the job. Like,
I gotta think they tried, but maybe they didn't. Yeah. But like, I think they tried.
I don't know. But. Yeah, but I also think too is like part of the thing to get Brown to come back here was like, hey, yep, you get 2 years, like, and then see from there. But you know, so I don't know, but I hope things have improved. You know, year two under the system. Again, like, he was a guy who came in after that second portal window last year. So obviously it is a new offense, despite him knowing Purdue. It is a different offense. So the fact that he's been here a full year, had a whole offseason, you know, with the same receivers, with the offensive line, you just hope, yeah, we see the results pay off.
Yeah, Ryan Brown, the first half of last year, showed some progress and some promise. Yeah. Second half, especially after he got a little banged up, he wasn't the same. But also, he's got to have help around him. The line's got to block better, and the receivers have to catch the ball. Purdue's receivers.
And we got to be able to run. We got to be able to.
Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo. That's number one. If we can't run the ball, he's going to be throwing 40 times a game, and it's not going to end well.
All right, when's the last time Purdue's had a stable running game? I mean, even under Jeff Brohm, it wasn't good.
2018.
I mean,
DJ that's Knox.
The problem, you know, but like Purdue's receivers, I think they were top five in the nation in drops last year. You just can't have that. Purdue's not going to be good enough to overcome beating themselves.
Yeah.
No, and last year the turnovers killed. The turnovers killed. Like,
USC game was prime example.
100%.
Three red zone turnovers.
Minnesota.
That's the one.
That one stung. Minnesota stung.
Yeah.
So I would say that. I would say the decision to hitch on Brown and there's nothing else behind that. That's.
Oh, if he goes down.
Yeah. Things they say about Chuba is like, there's some positive, like, hey, like, he's got an awesome arm, but he's very turnover prone, which is not.
Yeah, he's a gunslinger. I mean, it's,
yeah,
you gotta, you know, live and die by those guys. You might make
them. Unless we have a lights out defense, then it's not going to work. Unless our defense gets his lights out.
Unless Kevin Kane's learned something in the last couple of years that I don't know.
Maybe he learned something from Boat Boy last year. Who knows?
If he did, then why did we outgain him? That.
He wasn't in charge of the defense.
Yeah.
He wasn't defense coordinator.
He was an analyst, though. Coach. Yeah. I thought he was an analyst, too. Right. Yeah.
I think linebacker coach and analyst, but okay. Who knows? Yeah, you're right.
It is. These two decisions will be pivotal in regards to what it is. I think it's kind of a pivotal year for Barry and staff in regards to what decisions are going to be made with now a new AD in play. And if the results aren't coming, I mean, the money will be in. Fans will want to change, and the AD will probably want to do something, especially with the team up north and down south, you know, taking over the state pretty much. In regards to football, it'll be very interesting to see year two of Josh Henson's offense. Are we not going to be running a quarterback and straight into the line? On fourth and one.
If we bring in Evan Chuba, is it going to be a designed run up the middle every single
game? Not big enough.
Yeah.
If we need to bring in a quarterback to do that, then why can't we run the ball like straight up?
Yeah. Right.
That is my thing. Or why aren't we putting a running back there?
Yeah, it's interesting with Henson.
Run like a wildcat or something.
Greens in the new O-line coach.
Yep.
This Vance year, that's out. A big deal. Yeah, that because Vance and changed, Henson supposedly did not see eye to eye at all. So,
yeah, changed up the obviously we running back coach left, and then they moved Conrad over to his normal coaching position.
I liked what I saw out of him in the episode two of the Boiler Room.
I did too. Yeah,
he does not like when the ball's on the ground, as he should.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I think we're gonna get running backs. I think Purdue plays up to four running backs.
Oh. 100%.
I think so. I mean, why not? I mean, keep it fresh, keep things interesting. Like you got, especially because they're all different in a way. I mean, sounds like Fame Ajiboy is more of like a just kind of a straightforward bruiser. I think Gibson's got more pop to him, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. Probably just thinking of the video game is what I'm thinking of mostly. Yeah, because
Gibson might be fourth from what I've been reading.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah,
yeah, the video game, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's incredible. Travis Terrell Jr. is...
I'm excited about him.
I'm excited about him. Small guy, but you know, definitely one of those things where it's like, get him out in space and get him there.
Has it been announced if he's playing special teams? Because that's my...
I believe him and Townsend are the kick returners.
Okay, because that's where I think we do need speed back there, kind of separate in close space.
I mean, the fact that... I don't know who's going to be the punt returner, but the fact that we haven't returned a punt for touchdowns since 09 is ridiculous.
With what talent we've had in the last decade.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Some good return talent with Rondell and Charlie. And, jeez. Yeah.
Didn't Milton Wright take some back, too? Return some?
He might have been a returner a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. But,
I think I think the other thing is that we got a fan base that's a little anxious now.
Sure.
Especially seeing... Yeah. Something that we never thought we'd see last year. We thought Notre Dame would probably win a national title before that would ever happen again.
Mm-hmm. I thought they'd win five before that happened. Let's be honest.
True. And we're seeing a fan base that sees that team get nationally recognized, get to play three cupcakes in a row. Why we have to go on former decisions made from a former head coach that now is at Louisville and a AD, then it's out the door.
Yeah.
I listened to Golden Black's take in regards to how scheduling is. I am in the boat of if we're not going to win, we got to look competitive though on bigger primetime games to get notoriety out there, especially if we're going to be in the bottom tier of the Big Ten in football for a while. Like, you at least got to be showing like, hey, we're on TV. We're not.
Yeah. You know, you can't get beat by 30 points.
No.
Routinely, like on a weekly basis, yeah.
Correct. But, again, I think if the fan base looks at it, there's not been anything since the Big Ten 2022. We haven't won on the road in the Big Ten in years.
2023, yep.
Yep. And it's kind of, you know, we've now went through – coach that's going to probably succeed out in Washington as D coordinator and get another opportunity, and this fan base is going to be a little bitter if this doesn't work out. I believe what they're trying to push out, especially from the media standpoint of, like, you know, what should have been last year, hard, tough discipline, hopefully is this year. But it's going to be coming on in regards to what you stated earlier, Tanner, of can't beat themselves.
No.
What, I mean, the turnover margin has to be in the positives this year for this team to even have a shot at a bowl. Yep.
Yeah, and the defense has to get pressure on the quarterback.
They could get when off the field.
Looking back at 2023, Ryan Walters' first year when Purdue went 4-8, and Thieneman had that great year with his interceptions, freshman All-American. Scorton and Jenkins were all over the place. And Purdue has not had that since. You get pressure on the quarterback, you're going to make them hurry. They're going to be prone for mistakes.
Yep.
Last 2 years, guys are just camping out back there, and Purdue can't pick off the ball, can't get fumbles. It just,
But I mean, TJ Lindsey going down last year, I think was
it hurt big time. USC,
We don't know what happened to CJ Madden last year in regards to that drop off. That one was still a mystery to me.
Yeah.
But you know, that's Barry's bread and butter is defense.
Yep.
So. If we don't see improvement, I mean, there's directly a finger there. And I think now what I complained about last year of like leadership and above, I can't say that anymore. It's now on him to perform.
Yep.
It's on him and his staff to perform because that's completely new.
Yep.
Minus Grimes.
Yeah. Which who knows?
No comment.
I might be running. I don't know. Running out after season. I don't know. But yeah, no, it's I think there's reason for Purdue fans to be anxious be optimistic, be maybe a little excited, because a new season does bring new opportunities, even especially in this culture of college athletics when you have a lot of turnover and new roster. But I get it too. I get why people, especially with the weather tomorrow night being hot and Friday night, and I get why people might rather stay home and watch the game, because they gave me 3 wins the last 2 years. Why should I, you know, spend my money?
I'm kind of in this mindset too of like, it's Indiana State. Like, yes, no matter how bad we've been, as we saw 2 years ago, we should throttle them. If we don't,
they'll quit early. That's what they threw the ball 10 times 2 years ago. They were there to get their $500,000 check and get out.
Yeah. Which,
assuming, honest to God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Assuming, like, you know, nothing fluky happens where they get up to a 10-0 lead tomorrow, like, you by the second quarter, this game should be like they're trying to just like, hey, let's get this accelerated clock going. let's get this going.
If they lead at any point in this game, we need to be cause for concern the rest of the season.
Well, they could lead 3-0, but if they get up double digits, like Webby said, somebody needs to check on me, please. Like,
They get a 3-0, even that means they drove the ball in the defense.
What? Hit a fluky play for 30 yards or something, and you're almost a field
penalty or something.
Yeah.
Penalty, something stupid.
If we're committing penalties and beating ourselves like we did last year, then get.
You're not wrong about penalties.
So that's where it's like, it's like, you know, we shouldn't really learn anything tomorrow.
No, we should.
Hopefully. Like, unless it's like, hold crap, Travis Terrell
should run like 20 plays, a sample size of what they got. It's
the way Forrest game is going to be. The same play every 15 times.
Why not?
If it works, it works.
The Wake Forest game's a huge one. I mean, huge one.
Yeah,
they played tonight against Akron.
Like, yeah.
Which is why Purdue's playing tomorrow. Purdue was scheduled to play Saturday originally, and they asked to get the game moved up. So,
and more inclined, Big Ten Network being a subsidiary of Fox, I mean, they were like, sure, we need to fill this slot anyways.
And West Lafayette High School moved their game up to tonight, I read. So.
Yep. Yeah, because both them and Lebanon are going to the game tomorrow, which is cool.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Going back to what you said, Webb, in regards to if we learn something tomorrow, if we have to learn something tomorrow, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. I hope it's like Travis Terrell is super cool, fast, like twitchy, whatever. Hey, DBs look awesome. I don't know. Like maybe we pick off 3 times, which we haven't done in forever.
I want to see cool Evans like Chuva. Evans Chuba versus Brady Allen.
Yeah.
Because that means pretty good job.
Hopefully, sans injury.
Yeah, I guess both starters could go down, and then we get that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact, Brady Allen, what a journey.
Should have stayed. Not going to lie.
I mean, 2021 Mr. Football, and he's never started a game in college. I don't know if that's ever happened with him.
Yeah.
Indiana Mr. Football played quarterback,
it's probably happened with some other state Mr. Probably. Football.
Oh, other state, Indiana, I don't know, but other states, I'm sure, like Mr. Football of Rhode Island or something.
Probably started at UMass, so you never know, or UConn or Harvard.
Yeah, that's true.
So, if that's what we learn is, hey, we got, I don't even know if we want to say it freaky fast because we're going to get against subpar FCS talent. I hate to call them out like that, but like it is what it is.
Go ahead. Frank PSI guy one on YouTube said no Purdue tight end injuries. Well, we already have one.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't lose anymore.
Yeah.
If we have any more, put an extra lineman up front.
Gosh.
Yeah. Little update, UMass is still up 27-7 on Rutgers, but Rutgers does have the ball on the 25 of UMass, and Wake Forest is up 20-0 with like 7 minutes left in the second quarter. So,
Colorado, Georgia Tech kicked off yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
At least not on the ESPN app. But actually, I had some questions and just kind of talking about the first game. One of my questions was, who do you think for Purdue? Hope this doesn't happen for Indiana State, but who scores the first touchdown of the season?
Hines, pick six.
I was thinking like pick six by somebody. Slaughter, something. What a name.
Mr. John Clark. Slaughter.
Mr. Clark, yeah.
Basically, he has the best name on the team.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go. Originally, when I made it, I was like, I hope it's like a pick six, like first play of the game, like something just to get the place amped up.
Sorry, Austin Appleby. But, you can see that since he's on staff now.
Yeah. I'm going to go George Byrne. That's my guess. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm going to go Dylan Morissette.
I like that too.
Really good. I like that.
I thought Lynch, I thought you were going to say an offensive lineman recovers a fumble in the end zone.
No.
Something off
the wall. I hope it's more set in the end zone where he had the stupid play where he was out of bounds by 15 yards.
Oh, and I was a stupid game. Fan that Same. Stood up. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh God.
I mean, we've been seeing for over a year. I want to see something.
Yeah. Yeah, they kept that under wraps last year. We know we knew he got hurt. I didn't know he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've listened to Barry's practice or post practice like conferences. He says he's not going to talk about injuries.
Didn't have to.
Yeah, Jeff Brom was always like that.
Until they're forced by sports books and gambling from the Big Ten that pushes them.
I think they have to release an injury report on Thursdays now. At least.
Okay.
I think yeah. Well, it should have came out yesterday, probably. But I don't know. I don't know that rule. I know Tom's talked about something about Thursdays and injuries. So,
but no, I think seeing what he is back. I mean, being named a captain as well was a little surprising to me. But like, he's probably shown it,
yeah.
Probably committed. So, I would say he's probably going to be hungry and want the ball.
Yep. And it excited me this week. Barry said wide receivers, the group that has improved the most since the start of spring. I like hearing that.
Yeah.
Wish it was offensive line.
I know. At least they got some depth. Who knows how good it is, but at least they got some veteran depth there now.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I said I've got a couple more questions or more Do broad it. Versus first game.
Let's go.
Let's do this one. I think it's a fun one because there seems like an obvious answer in my opinion, but I don't think it's as obvious. That's why I'm laughing. What is more likely to happen in the month of September? Purdue goes 0-4 or 4-0?
I'll go. They're going to go 4-0.
I would agree. I'd say
it's 4-0.
It's like 1.5% to like 0.5%.
I can't stress the talent difference there will be tomorrow night. Like the NIL and more so the transfer portal era, it's widened the power six and or the group of six and the power four. It's even done miles more damage to the FCS schools. Like
they're there to get a pick, which I mean, hopefully the guys don't get hurt.
Well, Mallory's entering his 10th year and his record's god awful. I mean, they don't care.
I was like, obviously, it seems like just because of who we play, Notre Dame, UCLA, like Wake Forest, like it seems obviously 0-4, but I think to lose to Indiana State when we've never lost to an FCS school, like I don't care how bad we are.
The worst loss in Purdue football history.
Oh, maybe my
Purdue
God.
Sports history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it sports would, history.
I mean, I only go back to late 90s in my knowledge, but my gosh.
Yeah. I think it'd be worse than FDU. Like, I mean, obviously, that was a winner.
At least they made the tournament.
Yeah. This is, yeah.
All right, before you go to the next question, if somehow tomorrow night goes that way, then background should just be a tombstone on the season. For next week,
I'm probably not like the podcast. I don't know.
Podcast sure, might be done. This might be our last episode of tomorrow night.
I'm not sure I make it home. To be honest,
you know, I was thinking the other day. I'm like, it took a Ricardo Allen pick in 2013 to make sure we didn't lose the Indiana State. That's actually when they were a decent FCS program at the time.
Yeah, that was right in front of us too, because they were in the red zone or close to.
We shouldn't have to be careful with this discussion. I mean, this is
no,
yeah.
Vegas knows when they're making Purdue 36.5 point favors over anybody. How bad?
And like over-unders like 55.5 or something crazy. So it's
they haven't scored a single point in West Lafayette their last two times they've been there.
Correct.
That's crazy.
Beating Ball State, this team I would hope is more talented than last year in regards to beating Ball State and beating
Southern Illinois.
So like, correct. So and they were in games last year. They moved the ball against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Up in South Bend.
Yeah. Just couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Correct. Absolutely. So I don't think it's going to happen, but God forbid if it did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Next week would
be painful. if we lose, and then like that chance of going over goes to like 99.9%.
Yep.
I would wonder how many guys in the team quit.
Good.
Next question. That.
Anyways, okay. You have to pick one. This year. This year only. Who would you rather be, Notre Dame or Indiana?
Indiana.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Especially down there.
Notre Dame.
Why?
The reason here. All right. If we beat Notre Dame. Here's my reasoning. If we beat Notre Dame, that means there's going to be momentum set for the season.
That's fair.
And that is fair. The chances of them beating IU, I would believe, are high. And giving them a game. Because we took it to one of the best defenses.
I think Notre Dame is going to be better than Indiana, but
I don't.
I do. I don't know. I think Notre Dame. I think it's the most talented Notre Dame team we've seen in our lifetime.
Yeah,
it's one of the most talented defenses we've seen from them.
I was talking to a Notre Dame fan today through text. They're like, if we don't do it this year, I don't know if we're ever going to do it.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I love Marcus Freeman. And besides, I
want either one of them to do it. I hope they both go freaking 0-12. But
yeah, I agree. I think IU might have one of the best defenses we've ever seen, potentially. Just from like what I've read, like it's could be stupid. Like, especially if they got these guys who were like who got hurt like in the Big Ten championship and came back, who led the Big Ten in tackles for loss. Like, add that to already was supposed to be nasty and that psychotic coaching staff. Like,
it's gonna be interesting. It could be bad. Because they got targets on their back now. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. Yeah. I think their schedule's tougher. And maybe everything got to their head. I don't think the coaching staff lets that happen, but never know.
Yeah,
I think Hoover turns over the ball as much as he did at TCU.
Yeah, he's very talented. But if he turns it over as much as he does TCU, Kirk might pull him.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
He might ask him.
You've given me something to pause at because I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking binary, had to be one or the other, but I like your reasoning, Lynch, for that.
Yeah.
Very broad question, but what would define success for Purdue for you, in your opinion, this year?
I hate what I'm going to say because it sounds like a loser mentality, but winning at least 4 games.
Yep.
With multiple of those being conference games, at least 2 of those, and just not getting beat by anybody by like 28 points or more.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's loser mentality because there's no reason Purdue shouldn't be able to win 6 games a year, in my opinion. But they're just not there right now.
What defines success? I have something that does, but I'm going to answer a different way. And it's learning how to win.
Okay.
Because could not do it.
Yeah.
They could not do it last year. Correct. Believing you know how to win and doing it and confirming that to themselves is going to unlock something in them that they can go out and compete regardless of what stars or whatever's ranked on them. I mean, that IU team had 0-5 stars and won a national title.
And I think
correct. The way you listen to the coaches talk, no one was late besides one off a delayed flight this whole offseason.
Yeah, everyone was 10 minutes early. That was awesome to hear.
Yeah.
That's discipline number one. The hard and tough things we're going to see, well, plus penalties, if they're not committing penalties on the field. I think the coaches are trying to get to that point in the offseason, saying like showing they can win. I think them proving to themselves that they can do it as a group collectively, I think it's the next phase, and they can do it in September. They can do it in October. They can do it in November.
Yeah. I think that's why the force is so huge, which like mm-hmm. you hate to put, and like you get hope to God, like the coaching staff and like the program's not like, like internally isn't thinking that either. Like, cause
they'll pull a Hazel and Marshall.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, if you can like just win that game, I don't care if it's by 3, by 1, by 15 or whatever, like if you can win that game, that's, it gets the monkey off. Like I'm no longer hearing, hey, Purdue hasn't beat a powerful team since 2023. Yeah. You know, you don't have to hear, you know, all that, you know, that's put to bed. Like if you can get that confidence, like, you know, hey, now you're going to a conference game on the road. Like we don't really know about anybody UCLA right now, but I think it'd be pretty good. But like you said, like, I think, yeah, if you can, cause if you can't win those games early, like it's going to be real hard to, you know, win in October or, you know, November when we have, you know, I don't know how Wisconsin is going to be, but you know, those late games either. But, cause I think what we saw with, you know, Walters last year in 2024 is like, you know, the whole, you know, if you're at home, even like on a road, like if Purdue got down 14-0, it's like, over. Well, this is over. Like the, even the team looked like it was like, well, we tried. Yep. Like it was fun. Yep. Fun while it lasted. Yep. We tried for 5 minutes.
That happened to Purdue downstretch last year, Washington and Indiana. Yeah. Even those teams were marginally better. But, you know, Barry keeps preaching playing meaningful football in November. And yeah, if you can go into November 4 wins somehow,
hey.
3 wins somehow, you can be playing some meaningful games. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions, Evan, or do we want to get?
I do, there? Yeah. Okay. I have one more. It's kind of a two-parter, but which areas do you think Purdue makes the biggest jump this season? And then on the flip side, are there any areas you're worried with either regress, not regress, but just like maybe kind of stay where they were at, kind of what we saw last year?
God, if we regress, that's horrible.
Yeah, I don't want to say regress. One, it's more like
the regress one. I'm not going to say they regress on talent because I don't think that's the case. But it's depth. It's linebacker worries the crap out of me.
Yes,
because if any of those three starters go down, I don't know what's behind them. If it is, it's a freshman that's unproven.
They're raving about JoJo.
I know, but that scares me. Defensive backs. I just don't know a lot about a lot of the defensive backs. I mean, it's Bradford and Hines are the only two that are experienced as in Purdue system or worn a Purdue uniform. Offense, I'm buying the hype that the offensive line's got better.
I would 100% agree. If my hope is that they can learn to control the line of scrimmage because then that keeps the defense out the field.
Yep.
And we're not throwing the ball.
Yep.
Because I don't trust. We've seen 2 years of Ryan, a year. And some games, I would say, about Ryan Brown. The guy turns it over. I don't think he solves that right away. So if they can help him out and run the ball and get the ball out of his hands and keep the defense off the field, I think then we have a good shot at winning games.
John Hawks 4048 real quick on YouTube says, we will win 5 games this year. Biggest jump will be on defense.
Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I was going to say the biggest scare of regression is defensive line.
I like the interior. Yes. I just don't know about the edge.
I like the interior. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. I think for me, the biggest jump, I think, is either the receiving group or the DBs. I think I like the length that we brought in on the DB side.
Yeah.
In general, from what we saw, like we brought in guys that have actually played football at this level, like, or like, even though, or something like that, Travis Droh came from Jackson State. But he played. It's not like we're bringing in
all these guys from
Georgia that sat on the bench, like all these guys that, you know, at one point were 4 stars but haven't seen the field in 3 years, like
CJ
guys that have played.
Nyland Green.
But I think I like on paper
the size that we brought in, guys that can, you know, we brought in guys who played in the Big Ten even on defense, some defensive backfield. And then from the receiver side, I'm really intrigued by BC Owens. He really intrigues me, especially at 6'4". That intrigues me. I think those two groups make a big jump. And then, I think where I'm worried about is, the edge / linebacker group is where I'm worried.
Ranked PSI guy one on YouTube says offense consistently convert to third and three or less. Defense consistently stop the third and three or less. That's two big exclamation points of Purdue football my whole lifetime, at least. So
yeah. Can we get a yard? We need it. God.
I mean, Breeze and Orton team struggle doing that at times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. Good questions,
stuff, but yeah, thank you. But
do you want to get in the predictions then for tomorrow night?
Okay.
Oh, predictions for tomorrow night. And then,
okay.
And then a prediction for the season. We'll add that one.
Gotcha.
So
just to update too, Rutgers is still down 27-7 into the fourth quarter. How did they not score? Wake Forest is up 28-0. With under two minutes before halftime.
It's hard to score with Rutgers talent.
We're not talking about this. All right. Tanner, why don't you start us off? Score.
Tomorrow night. Yeah, score, spicy prediction, player of the game. Is that what we're doing?
Yep. And your season, season outlook.
Record. Okay. A season record. And now I'll tie in with my confident points. But, or I'll save my what I'll give you my record, but I'm going to save my wins for my confident points, if that makes sense. But tomorrow night, Purdue rolls. I'm going big here, 52-10. Spicy bold prediction: Purdue scores a special team touchdown, and my player of the game is Fama Ejipoy.
Good pronunciation. You got it.
I've practiced that one, okay? There's a couple I need to get better at, but that one I've practiced.
Okay. Did you want to give your outlook?
Oh yeah. Record? I got Purdue going 4-8, and I'll explain in the comment points.
Okay. Evan.
I'm going Boilers 42-3. Player of the game.
I'm going to go Korea. Say he gets a pick and two sacks.
Flying Hawaiian.
Yep. Spicy bold prediction. I'll one up you, Tanner. I think Purdue scores a touchdown in all three phases.
And season outlook record prediction.
I'm going to go just based off my I've got my Big Ten standings here, and based off that, I went super optimistic for me, and I've got us going 5-7.
I like it.
Okay. 3-6 in the Big Ten.
Okay. I have Indiana State covering just because the second unit's going to be in, and that's totally the reason why.
Brady going to be slinging it around the field.
I pretty win 42-10. So they do cover Indiana State, that is. Player of the game. Pull that up.
John Hawks pulling out Aaron versus I don't remember who it was a basketball season. Aaron had us beaten by like 106. But 77-0. Maryland,
It was Maryland, and it about happened. If they didn't call
it. Almost did. Yeah.
He says, John Hawks said 77-0 tomorrow. Purdue on his way to greatness, 5-7. Sign me up. 77-0.
I will say, if we win 77-0, like that will, like, talk about like good pub. I don't care if it's Indiana State. Like, that would be awesome.
It would be good. Player of the game, probably the only time I'm going to do this season. It's going to be Ryan Brown.
Does he have a Hudson Card-like performance?
24-25.
Yep. Yeah, and Barry's going to pull him. That's why. And probably Evan Stube is going to play. And that's also why I don't go higher than 42. Spicy bold prediction. I have two in my mind right now. And one's good, one's not so good. So I have that there'll be a strip sack fumble for a touchdown. I think that'll be one of the scores. I think defensive line's going to get to him and strip sack. Is his last name Carr? I think the quarterback. I was looking it up earlier.
Couldn't tell you.
And then the next one is because it's so dang hot. Stadium's going to be empty by fourth quarter, especially the student section.
That's all right.
That's
a pretty blowout.
And
they are allowing water bottles tomorrow. Everybody going to the game, if it's unopened up to 20 ounce water bottle or empty water bottle, because there's going to be filling stations. So just
nice.
That's good. Season outlook. I've been struggling with this one for the last couple weeks.
We might have a side wager on what you're going to say.
I have a feeling you guys did. And I started looking at the schedule. And I bought the hype last year, and I'm buying the hype again.
8-4. Come on now.
Barry's taking them to a bowl.
Let's go.
I had you having them at 2-10, so I was pretty off.
Pretty we're
talking 6-6, 7-5.
Yeah, we're doing 6-6.
If Barry does that, he should be up for Big Ten Coach of the Year. Honestly.
100%.
No. That's reserved for one other coach, in my opinion.
Oh, if it's Mike Locksley, I'm going to hit you.
Locksley, the boys.
He might not even be Maryland's coach by the time they're on West Lafayette.
Washington is talented quarterback. I wish we had him. He is dang good for what he did as true freshman. I think that game is going to be pivotal. I actually do think this team will be able to compete with Iowa. If they don't beat themselves, Iowa's not an explosive offense.
Iowa just doesn't beat themselves.
Correct. So if, but we have time, this team has time to get to that point.
Right.
I think it's going to be interesting late game week three. I think next week's, I know you, everyone's circling is pivotal. I don't see it that much. You have to get 6-6. It could be, but we don't know what Bob Chesney's going to do. We know Bob Chesney's a good coach. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that team program is because it's been shambles for the last years.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Notre Dame is. This is a reset for Illinois, even though he is the highest recruiting class he's had. They showed that they could beat Fleck. They showed they beat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
100%. On the road, too. Like, that's, yeah.
Yes. Washington's a different animal, which I PR firm, please let's do a check before the game with Babinski and Walters. Just for the fans. Penn State, that's going to be a massacre, in my opinion. I don't see that happening. No. Michigan's going to be interesting with Whittingham. It's hard to see.
Don't play that Michigan.
Team. Oh, duh. Who am I thinking
of? It will be interesting. It will be interesting with Michigan.
Why am I again, Prevagen, if you're out there, we'd love to have you. Maryland, I think it's going to be a pivotal game. Iowa's going to be a pivotal game, which I said.
Wisconsin. You're thinking of?
Yes, Wisconsin's the one I'm thinking of, because I actually think the curse is broken this year.
Fickell might not be their coach by the time they come into West Lafayette.
I think they're going to get blown out on Sunday.
One of our mutual friends has Notre Dame beaten them by 42 Sunday night.
I believe it.
Shush.
I don't think they're that good, and I think whatever – I think Fickell's probably going to have to go back to the coaching tree.
It just blows my mind. When they hired him, I'm like, this is money for them.
It's the home run hires of home run hires. Like when it's some
sense.
But he changed the whole philosophy of that program.
And yeah, you're right. Trying to air raid. Let's run air raid.
Yeah.
Air raid when that program for decades has been run the ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
And last game, we're not, I don't even want to.
No shot.
Especially if they're trying to play for a big being the Big Ten title game, hell no. Yeah. We're done.
Well,
I'm hoping they're like 7-4 going into there.
Yeah.
The
worst thing for Purdue is to go into IU at 5-6 with a chance to go to a bowl, because Cignetti's going to just be licking his chops of like, oh, you had.
I would take it right now. Sign me up for 5-6
going down there. 100%.
No.
100%.
I think the pivotal games, again, I don't know why I said Michigan. I think your pivotal games are going to be Illinois. Probably next week against Wake Forest. We'll see how UCLA is. it probably is going to be Minnesota too. Homecoming against Loxley is going to be big. And I think senior day, I think that Wisconsin team will quit. So there's a chance 6-5 is in play. We've seen this team go toe-to-toe. Yeah. And Barry has proven everywhere the two stops he's been as head coach, they have improved year two vastly. Mm-hmm. And I think it was up in our comments.
Yeah, it was by big time boiler.
Yeah, big time boiler. Yes, I'm buying it. I'm buying the hype. I know I'm in the, you know, minority here, but you both think I'm pessimistic. I'm the most optimistic. I hope you're right.
I know. I hope you're right. Yeah. I mean, I definitely I can see it. Like there was when I first did my first run through of the schedule, like Big Ten standings. I had us going 6-6, and I was like, come on, it's just me with my black and gold sunglasses or black and gold glasses. As of right now, looks more favorable than we've had since what, Brahms last year.
Yep, absolutely. And we do have, you know, again, I think the ball cannot, Brown can't be throwing the ball 47 times a game. You're that right. That is one thing. So the offensive line has to improve, the defense has to get off the ball.
John Hawks is awesome tonight. He says on YouTube, I will be watching the game with my 92-year-old mom, cigarette smoke, and PBR. It doesn't get better than that. Boiler up. I love it.
But I think, let's move right into that. So,
all right, game one tomorrow. Probably all unanimous here, but Indians and Sycamores. 12.
12.
Wait, I thought we were going to 18.
Hmm?
Huh?
What?
Lich thought we were doing Big Ten week conference.
Oh, no. No, schedule confidence points.
Oh, gosh.
Our timing was off last week.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, 12.
We'll get it right next
week. Yeah.
Little 12. Rough.
I got 11.
Same.
Doing this on the fly, I'm going to say 8.
8? Okay.
Well, he about jumped out of the screen.
Those are the easiest ones. Actually, there's 3 really easy ones. it was a mixed bag for me.
Well, that third one's not easy for Lynch, but at UCLA, I have 7. It's a winnable game for Purdue, but until I see Purdue win on the Pacific time, I'll believe when I see
on the road.
7.
I have a 5. I was originally higher, mostly just because it's on the road, Pacific time. I don't know what to think of you right now. I mean, Chesney, like, obviously we saw what last time a James Madison coach came to the Big Ten their first year. I have them going, I think I have them going, 8-4. My time, I sent to Tanner. I had him going 10-2. I backed it off
a little bit. I have losing to Cal week 2 at Cal. I don't know why, but.
But yeah, I'm gonna go. Yeah, I did 5 for that 5. One.
Lynch.
I'll go 10 here. Yeah. I have a suspicion. I think again, if you can get rolling, you can get some belief.
Yeah,
I think anything's possible on this one.
11 p.m. Eastern start time for that one.
Get the caffeine pumping.
Yeah. Then we got the Golden Domers coming to West Lafayette.
Haven't been since 07. It's either 1 or 2 numbers, I think, for all of us. I got 1.
I have 1. 2.
I have 1.
I think they are the most talented team on Purdue's schedule.
I think we know who the other. If you have them at 2, then we know that the other one is, because that's our.
Oh,
2.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think between those are 1 and 2. I mean, either way you look at it.
Those were the Indiana State Notre Dame game and the other one we're talking about were the first 3 I filled out.
Yeah.
Then Purdue's on the road to Illinois.
I got 8. I have this higher than UCLA. Even when Purdue loses, even last year, Purdue played them tough. Michael Jackson dropped the punt that flipped all the momentum. Purdue plays Illinois tough. So,
yeah, and like I said, like Lynn kind of alluded to, like it's a whole new Illinois team. Obviously, they have a great class coming in, and Burt's a really solid coach. At least he has been in the Big Ten. Yep. I think they're going to be consistently in that 6 to 8 win range every year. You know, depending, you know, the bottoms and fallout.
Where we hope Purdue gets back to.
Right, exactly. I would take that in a heartbeat. But I get it. This is like their team. Like, I'm just not. It was just my hatred for them. But they don't scare me. I thought they were frauds going into last year. Like, when a big game of going to Bloomington about they were going to beat them, and they got smacked by like 80. I actually wasn't mad to see that in some aspect. But yeah, I had 7. I don't have us winning this game in my picks, but
I don't
either. I have Illinois going 8-4 this
year. I actually have us winning this game. Okay. I think Barry's going to hype him up because it's a trophy game.
Trophy and, case yep. been bare for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think replicas have already got in there.
Yeah.
I think earning something for their hard work is probably going to be something going on into that week. So, and that is like kind of one of those pivotal games. I'm thinking for 6-6 will happen.
So what's your confident points on it?
I said 11.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Purdue returns home from Minnesota and the Boat Boys.
Give me 9. Purdue plays PGA pretty good. Should have had them last year. Choked it away. That was a weird year for Minnesota last year. Another 8-1 season, which he does. But Purdue can stack up with them talent-wise. Yeah, 9.
Mm-hmm.
Ditto.
Yeah, I had 9 as 9
across the board?
I actually had Minnesota, and this is just like the app I use. I use the same thing, just going game to game. I had Minnesota going 4-8.
Which God, I hope you're right.
I don't see that.
I don't see it either, but hey, I picked the games. Then another night game on a Friday night.
Fox. Our
old pal Ryan Friday Walters night. Come home. Washington Huskies.
Yeah, Washington's good. I'm not looking forward to this one. I got 4 on it.
I got a 4 as well.
I got 3.
Yeah, I have Washington going 8-4 on the year as well. I have a lot of people going 8-4.
I think I got 10-2.
They're definitely the third most talented team we're going to face this year.
Yes,
I agree with
that. Then we go on the road to Penn State. New coach Matt Campbell.
On Halloween, Purdue's only won in Nittany Valley one time. That was in 04. I got 3 on it. It's just
Purdue's history is terrible like, there. Yeah, it's all road. It's, yeah, Death Valley. Or, yeah, Happy Valley, sorry.
Happy Valley.
Yeah. 3.
And Clemson, South Carolina. I have 4, so this is my 4th because I still think Washington's more talented than this team.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I had Penn State going 9-3. I don't think they're going to be that good, but it's just how I picked the games.
John Hawk says he wants to beat Walters bad. I think that's
I think the whole something
that made him a lot of
Purdue fans. He better go in the box that game, especially being right by.
Oh, P-Wall, are you kidding me? He'll wear a tight shirt doing this the whole game.
He'll be on the field bobbing his head with the music pregame. Oh yeah, he'll be on another level.
I don't have any ill will to him.
He was just wasn't ready for the job.
I was playing Babinski. Yeah,
Babinski got caught with the
pants. Homecoming, Aaron's boy, Maryland comes to town.
Time to make some turtle soup. 10.
10 as well.
This one, I have it 5.
Oh my god!
Hey, we can find you a Maryland podcast.
The Duke can recruit. The Duke can coach offense. They can't coach defense. Like, defense is their problem, and turnovers.
Yeah.
So this podcast, maybe we get invited to the Maryland one during Maryland homecoming week. That'd be great.
I have Maryland going 4-8.
No way. No way.
Yeah, I had Maryland pretty bad too.
No. That schedule sets up for 7-5, and this is the pivotal game.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Next game.
Yeah, at Iowa.
I have five on this one. I mean, we've seen Purdue win at Kinnick a couple times, but they just don't beat themselves. And I think Iowa's going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, if Iowa going 8-4, this is my number six.
This one, it's a toss-up between 6 and 7 for me because, this is not an explosive offense. Yes. Yes, children. I'm going to go 6. Yeah, I did. I'm going to go 6 here. But I still think this is a game that they potentially could win.
Yeah, they don't scare me. But obviously, their defense can be incredible.
But if this team doesn't, learns how to win, doesn't beat themselves.
Exactly.
We can 100%. Go toe-to-toe.
Yep.
Double D Sports, that we had them at 5-7 is achievable.
I definitely agree. Then Senior Day, the Wisconsin Badgers.
Maybe I have with 6 or without the pickle, we don't know. I should feel better. I should feel better, but we haven't seen it since 2003. Yeah, every time I get every time we get our hopes up, they kill us in
I have Wisconsin going 5-7.
I think Fickell's fired before this game.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
us against them a couple years ago. Jim Linder was coaching and. They That's whooped right, us yeah. when we made the Big Ten championship.
I think they probably regret letting Leonard walk. I really do. Go ahead and read the comment.
Cameron Day is buried on the hot seat by the new garbage AD if he only wins 2 games. I don't know why we're calling the new AD garbage. He did say one thing he shouldn't have said, but I mean, he hasn't even been AD for 1 football game. I don't understand that. But if he wins 2 games, he's on the hot seat.
2 games, he's on the hot seat for sure. Yeah.
I will say
Evan's been keeping us up to date with Rutgers.
Yeah. Oh my God. UMass has the ball inside the Rutgers 30. It's up 27-7.
We're not winning a game.
It was a chance to the funniest thing tomorrow.
Tanner, did you have me for 7 on that one?
Yeah, Wisconsin 7. Yep.
Yep. And the last game.
Of course, we also look 28-3.
Last game's one for Webby and 2 for Aaron and I.
Yeah. Yeah. I have them going 11-1. That's hopeful for me. Like, I really think that. I really think they've got that stretch where it's like Ohio State at Michigan,
USC,
someone else.
They play USC. They play Washington. They play at Nebraska, which that could be a sneaky hard game, especially Nebraska's off the hot start.
Yeah, it wasn't in Nebraska, but I remember like 2 years ago, Nebraska. Yeah. They're like, oh, we're gonna stump these guys, and they ran them off the
I know.
Field. I think if they've got I can't remember the stretch, but like Ohio State at Michigan, if they win those 3 games, I think they're repeating.
Like, well, yeah, I just
yeah, yeah.
I think these other teams, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I had a 8-4, but that's a Purdue homer in me big time.
Yeah.
That's
11. I had 11-1. Yeah. I had them 11-1 losing to Ohio State. And but that's more just like me just hoping.
CBS Sports had them going undefeated and having them as the 1 of the 3 teams that could win the national title with Ohio State.
Kurt Herbstreit had Notre Dame beat them in the title game. I'll just jump off the second story of my house.
I might go to the library if that's the game. Find a book. Just read.
It'll be basketball season by then, so he won't be going to the library, folks.
That's true.
You are not wrong.
Aaron's got the Boilers 6-6. Who are the 6 wins?
6 wins. So Wake Forest. Then I have Wisconsin Senior Day. I did have that one. Illinois, Minnesota. So that's 4. Maryland, unfortunately. Unfortunately. And UCLA, because I that game is interesting. Oh, Iowa, though. That was it. Iowa.
You gave me 8. You named 8 schools.
No, I didn't. I gave you 6.
You said NDS State, Wake Forest, Illinois, Minnesota, Maryland, Wisconsin. Then you said UCLA and Iowa. That's 8.
Cross out Iowa and UCLA. Those are going to be competitive.
All right.
If we go 8-4, though.
Oh, my God.
that would be coach of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Evan, you had Boilers 5-7?
5-7, Indiana State, Wake Forest, Minnesota, Maryland, Wisconsin.
I had the exact same minus Wisconsin.
I originally had Illinois, but I flipped it. I changed it to Wisconsin.
I had the exact same minus Wisconsin, so 4-8.
Yeah.
Imagine if we did 12-0.
Stop, Lynch.
Hey, someone's got to be optimistic on this podcast.
I said 12-0 till we're not.
Not believing 12-0, though, the whole entire way.
Sure. But Double D Sports Wake is looking pretty tough against Akron. We can't give up deep throws against them. One of their top receivers did get injured.
Yeah, they're up 28-3 at half.
I wanted to see them roll. I did not want to see them get upset by Akron and come in pissed off. I've seen that too many times. Doesn't it?
The other scores around the country, US is up to nothing on Bethune-Cookman at half. Delaware is up 21-0 on Merrimack at half.
Go Hens!
Kennesaw State's up 6-0. Florida going to first over West Georgia. Albany, Buffalo's delayed. Missouri's up 21-0 on Arkansas Pine Bluff with 13 to go in the second quarter. Georgia Tech, Colorado are tied at 0 with 5.5 to go in the first quarter.
No, Wonder Boy Juju hadn't let him down for a score yet, huh? Maybe Brandon Marion at go-go offense isn't so go-go. Sorry. I listened to too much Denver sports radio this time of year. I'm sorry.
Boat Boys are up 14-0 on Eastern Illinois in the first quarter.
I actually think Brahm and Louisville get it done against Ole Miss.
I do.
Howdy, Todd. Yep. I think
Jeff will do what Jeff does. He'll upset some people and he'll lose some what the hell's that games. So.
Yeah. And end up 8-4.
Yep. 8-4, 9-3. Yep.
I still thought we were going through confidence points of the Big Ten this week. So
I don't have confidence points for the game, for the other ones.
It's totally fine.
I don't see the Big Ten losing except I do UCLA and Cal. That's this weekend. I'll beat them. That's it. Everybody else in Big Ten's winning. Except Notre Dame beating Wisconsin.
That's where I'm going back to Wisconsin Fickle. Notre Dame wins like 42-7. Like that Fickle seed is going to be on fire if it's not already.
Yep. Yep.
I have to keep that like semi respectable.
I actually had two other like Big Ten teams losing this week. This weekend, that is. Not tonight. I didn't think Rutgers was losing.
Hampton over Maryland, obviously.
Well, absolutely. That was my most confidence points that we were going to
do. More than Ohio State and Ball State?
Actually, yes. I had 18. So, I actually had Pat Fitzgerald losing the first game against Jason. Yeah,
they're only 13 point favorites.
I had Candle and the boys going up there and getting a win.
I forgot he's still their coach.
And Michigan State's only 10-point favorites. So,
yep.
Yeah.
So, and the other one I had, South Dakota State, been the FCS playoffs many years. And going in to play Northwestern, I think that's
– that's the 13-point game. I'm sorry. When you said Fitzgerald, I was still thinking Northwestern. That's
Okay.
Yeah.
That one and Aiden Child throwing the – like turning over the ball, I think that's just going to happen.
He stinks. Him running Chip Kelly's offense is going to be weird.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly at Northwestern is just going to be weird.
It is. It's very weird.
But those were the two other
LSU and Clemson.
I got Clemson. I think LSU is distracted by a bunch of crap going on.
I don't think the game's contested. I think that he's going to play those NFL players.
He's an idiot.
And I guarantee that they're going to have the game stopped.
Like Dabo, if he plays them and they lose. I mean,
I think Dabo's going to make a scene about it.
Yeah, I could.
That's why I think the game would be non contested.
Yep.
He would be the head coach to do it.
100%.
So
he does need to come down hard. I agree. And I think Fitzgerald will do well up at East Lanes, but I think it's going to take him some time.
I still think Candle can beat him this weekend, though.
Oh, I could, too. Yeah, I don't think he will, but I think it'll be a good game.
But the other confidence points I had, I only had IU for 9 this weekend. I think they're going to be
kill them. They might not cover, but kill them.
I think there's going to be too much pomp with national broadcast that they're not going to be focused.
Remember last year they struggled week one a little bit against ODU.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ole Miss from the first play of the game.
Yeah, and that didn't last.
Because fans were like, oh, my God, we suck again.
We're back. We're back.
Yeah.
But
I just want to see, like, what happens to all these new IU football fans if they do struggle. They just go and dust off the golden blue jacket again and put it back on.
If they go undefeated in the regular season.
And, like, say IU goes 8-4 or something. Like,
right, yeah.
They'll go back to not caring.
Yeah.
They'll care about Ohio State. I mean, there's many things. Do we want to go across the top 25?
There's there's one ranked matchup. They're all, like, I was just looking at all the games kind of sides. LSU, okay. Clemson, and then Louisville, Ole Miss.
I mean, there's the Apple Cup. Like,
Washington big.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously Notre Dame, Wisconsin. Notre Dame's going to throttle them. Yeah, I guess SMU, Florida State's interesting.
I like SMU a lot.
I like SMU too.
I'm trying to think. If there's any other ones? Oregon, Boise State. I think is going to be a fun game.
Oh, I think Boise State's going to be good, but Oregon's going to be really, really, really good. So,
yeah, I think it can be fun for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at the other games that we probably talk about real quick. Week one's kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really
curious, like Miami going out to Stanford, like that's just interesting for week one.
But conference games.
I still think Miami dog walks them, but never know.
Yeah.
Man, there is no good games.
Really. There's not. Week two.
At least we got football
Texas.
Back.
Yeah. Week two, you've got Texas and Ohio State, Oklahoma, Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some good ones. Purdue, Wake Forest.
Wait, is that week two?
Then I guess we can probably wrap up this podcast. Well, you want guys?
Yeah.
Say predictions. Final four teams, national championship game, doesn't matter which one. And Heisman.
God, I have no idea for the Heisman.
Heisman, I got CJ Carr.
That's true.
National title, I'll just Oregon over Notre Dame.
I would like to see, I'd like Dan Lanning. He has to get it done for what he's got going on there. I'm going to say, just to be different, might be cool, is Oregon over Texas. I don't know. I don't know if Texas actually makes it, but
be battle of the brands.
Nobody sports. I think Ohio State makes the playoff. I just don't think they make the national championship game.
Who do you have for Heisman?
Tony, or whatever his name is from Miami, the running back.
Fletcher?
Tony's wide
receiver. No. Oh, it's a wide receiver. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fletcher's good too, though.
Yeah, I was going to say. National title game, I have Georgia versus Ohio State.
That'd be boring. Just seeing that.
Real possibility, though.
It's a real possibility. Heisman, I'm going to go a little different here. I'm stuck between two. Dark Horse, I think my Yava is 100% in play.
I like that kid.
I don't be good enough.
But I really think it's a one-man show in Ohio State, and it's Jeremiah Smith probably becoming number one pick overall because he's
watch the guy slinging him the ball, though, too.
He can sling the ball, but that kid's been electric since he was a freshman.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And he was an NFL. He could have played in the NFL when he's a freshman, probably.
If Texas is as good as Webby's saying, which are obviously going to be great, Arch Manning's going to be up there. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Does the Mannings That'll be a fun conversation in the spring. Will the Mannings not let him go to Cleveland?
100% they wouldn't.
It could be Arizona. It could be Miami. Don't just say Cleveland yet.
Yeah.
They have the first round picks, though. They had the first round picks, though.
Yes, they do.
So, yeah. Well, it's here, boys. It's good.
Yep.
Good to be back on it.
Good to be back.
Hopefully tomorrow night is just an easy win. It's a walk. It's a scrimmage walkthrough.
Yeah, I hope. But let's pay some bills real quick before we close the show.
Absolutely.
Webby's got a good looking shirt on. Where'd you get that shirt up from, Webby?
Got it from the shop. The shop for over a decade have been your favorite local t-shirt. You can visit them if you're in the Indianapolis area. You can visit them in Carmel, Broad Ripple, or downtown Indy, as well as online at theshopindy.com. Or in September, Christmas is 3 months away. Get your shopping in now. But next time you are shopping online, use promo code BREAKDOWN, all caps, for free shipping. Boiler owned. They've been a part with us for years. We love them. They just came out with a whole new drop for Purdue, as well as some other schools they got, especially for football season. Not sure the heavyweight shirts are the route to go for tomorrow. I wore a heavyweight shirt in that Fresno State game years ago. That thing was waterlogged. So maybe not tomorrow, but maybe save it for the Wake Forest game. It's a lot more nice out.
It's on sale right there.
Yep, I need to pick that up still. They're always making great shirts, super comfortable, look great, feel great. Appreciate the shop.
Yep, I got to show the new Gene Cady stuff real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
The sweet hat, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. And Lynch, you know, it's going to be hot tomorrow at the game. Some people might not be able to make it. It's Friday night. There's a lot of stuff going on. Where's a good place they can grab some good food from if they can't make the game?
Yeah, you can stop by Mad Mush. Supporting the Boiler Breakdown. It's pretty much for a few years running now. Glad to have them back. And they've been serving Boilermakers since 93. So if you're in town tomorrow, stop in. Actually use the code BEATISU. So they're right on point. You can get $5 off any order over $20. You can check out the pizza of the month when you're making that order. It's the tandoori chicken. So they're grilled chicken tossed in house-made tandoori sauces topped with red onions, green peppers, mozzarella, and Gouda cheese, finished with a lemon, fresh chives, crema. So if you're in town, or if you're just going to stay at home and order pizza, have it in, crack it up, even have a nice cold beer or a grinder if you stop in. Can't go wrong with that choice of Mad Mushroom. So Mad Mush, feed your head.
And this pizza, it should be noted, second place winner at the International Pizza Challenge. So that's
created by the State Street West Lafayette location GM Adam. So shout out to Adam.
Adam Heron. So yep, absolutely. Well, boys, fun first episode of the season. Hopefully, many, many more fun ones in the weeks to come. But start off right tomorrow night under the lights. Boiler up, hammer down, and beat the Sycamores.
Boiler up.